Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, number 123. And now, I know this is usually a light-hearted show, but the effects of what's happened in Newtown, Connecticut, has had an effect on most people in the world. And I can't really, this week, not mention it, because we're all thinking about those poor kids and those amazing teachers who try to protect them. And it's quite painful to think of when you try and imagine what those people went through and what the families are going through now. So all our thoughts go out to you. And it, like President Obama said, it's got to stop. This happens at least twice a year now. Somewhere around the world, some idiot goes into a school or a college or a university with a gun and kills people. It's just got to stop. And with me this week, we have... hang on, who is it this week? Let's have a look. Ah, Robert Haynes.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and variations thereupon.
And Rhys Parton.
And Rhys Parton.
Don't.
Very good. Kirby got a little slow. Shut up.
Shut up.
I've spoken with the captain. I can guarantee you everything's fine.
Mary Lang, I dread to think.
Hey, who turned out the lights? Oh, wait a minute.
Right. Now, I'd just like to explain to listeners that I may be a little bit indisposed this week because I've got a very poorly six-year-old in the other room who's got some sort of norovirus thing, keeps vomiting, and she keeps on running in telling me their tummy aches, and I can't do anything about it because if I give her anything, she'll be sick. So, yes, I was hoping to get an image of her on Skype so I could keep an eye on her in the other room. I can hear her, and she keeps wandering in telling me that she doesn't feel very well and wandering back out again, and... So, in a way, I'm hoping that she can be sick so I can give her some pain relief, because there's no point in giving her the pain relief before she's sick. So,
So Adam, you having a six-year-old gives you an especial connection to the recent tragedy.
It does. And when they said on the news that the kids were between 5 and 10, obviously, initially you're thinking that's that age group. And then when they confirmed that they would have been in Isabella's year at school, and the local news said there's a Hampshire child, you know, which is obviously quite close to us, who moved to America, went to that school. And you just think what heroes some of those teachers are, you know, to save their kids' lives. It's an amazing story. And I know what film producers are like in America, but I really do. I hope they don't make a film of that depicting it. I know they can't resist it because they did it on 9/11. But I think certain things are just too painful to try and depict in dramatic terms.
Oh, well, they'll make a movie about the shooter, his poor twisted life, and how we should all feel sorry for him.
No, I'm afraid I don't feel sorry for him. I don't care how ill he was. It's got to stop. It's like Obama says, you know, and that his reaction has been brilliant to it. I mean, I can't imagine if George Bush had been president at the time, you know... I can remember his reaction to 9/11. Yeah. I think Obama's handled things a lot better. And it's just so painful. I mean, we've had a few in this country. We had Dunblane many years ago. Again, that was children of that age. All around the world, like I say, it seems to happen at least twice a year. Now, you're expecting it after time now that you're going to get something on the story. Sorry, on the news. A story on the news, I should say. That some school has been raided by a madman with a gun or with a machete or whatever. Don't know what they can do.
So let's see. You can't go to school. You can't go to the theater. You can't go shopping. Well, I'll just sit at home and do everything on the computer.
And they're saying, oh, the gun laws. And I'm not, I don't agree with guns, lawful or unlawful, but having a law for people not to have guns would not have stopped this idiot or the other idiots around the world from getting
Can I say something, Adam?
Yes, you can.
Over here, when we had what happened in Tasmania in 1996, they automatically banned semi-automatic rifles, weapons, and it's done a lot for what happened over here.
It'll do something, won't it, Robert, but it won't completely stop it. If a nutter wants to get hold of a gun, he'll get hold of a gun.
But there's too much of an... Yeah, it's there's too much of an availability of guns, especially in the US.
Mm. Yeah, well, it is awkward the way it's sort of drawn into the Constitution, isn't it? You know,
It's the Second Amendment to our Constitution.
Yes.
But most people in America, it is a self-defense thing. Like in this country, you can have a gun in this country legally if you've got a license.
And well, you can here too.
Yeah. So it's not really that different, is it? It's just it's not drawn into the Constitution.
But the restriction does a lot, though. Restricting the availability has done a lot in this country.
It just gives it to the criminals and the crazies to get a hold of the guns there.
I just wish there was a better way of making schools secure against things. Because obviously they are a target for nutters. I just wish there was a way of making them more secure. Anyway. Right, I don't know what to start with first this week. Shall we go on to audio messages, otherwise known as feedback?
Yes.
Did you get a bit of feedback then? Right, let's see if I can find it first, because I know it's on this machine somewhere. I did get a little a notification come through on my iPhone / iPad that Gmail had received something. And listeners, that's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Oh, we have. We've got
talking over him, Grace.
We've got mail.
Oh, excellent. Right,
and I'm just turning my big speaker on, so you'll hear yourselves if you speak. There we go.
Hello, 20mb podcast. This is Ian Kirk. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, quite a lot.
Midnight by Russell T. Davis. The Doctor goes for a trip on a space bus, Crusader 50, leaving Donna to sunbathe. Leslie Sharp, as passenger Sky Silvestri, gives us an acting tour de force. Pardon my French. Of course the character is gay, this is an RTD script. The Missing Planet arc continues with the Lost Moon of Poosh. In the previous story, Silence in the Library, the Doctor had River and Donna to assist him, and the expedition did as he told them. Here he is alone, and no one trusts him. He is a mysterious stranger, as usual, but it makes him a suspect when weird things happen. The hostess saves everyone by sacrificing herself, pulling a possessed human out of an airlock. The captain in the episode 42 did the same thing. In The Voyager of the Damned, an officer dies when he falls out of an airlock. When the rescue vehicle turns up, it is represented by a voice on the radio, saving on actors and special effects.
Yeah, why not?
The Disney Corporation is releasing a film about the Lone Ranger next year.
Oh, yes.
In the God Complex, the Doctor nearly got an Indian companion. Different sort of Indian. In 1987, Ken Dodd was in a Doctor Who story. Here's a song by him. I've added a pause to it.
To me, this world is a wonderful place. I'm the luckiest human in the human race. I've got no silver and I've got no gold, but I've got happiness in my soul. I got more than my share of happiness.
There we go, that's Ian Kirk. He's either got a lot of time in his hands to think of these things, or he's just brilliant.
Yeah.
Or both, even.
Oh, sorry.
Right, Matthew Kressel.
This is Matthew, North Alabama, sending you feedback on the Series 4 episode Midnight. Doctor Who is often at its best when it's being atypical. We've come to expect alien invasions and time travel. What we haven't come to expect is what Midnight gives us. A claustrophobic tale of paranoia amongst a small, isolated group of people with the Doctor thrown into the middle of it. That claustrophobic feeling is what helps to make this atypical. This is the kind of story that we haven't seen Doctor Who do since its third ever story, The Edge of Destruction, back in 1964. It uses a handful of characters and a mysterious, undefined threat to create a story of people turning against one another. In that regard, Russell T. Davies owes a debt not just to The Edge of Destruction, but to Rod Serling's classic Twilight Zone episode, The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street, which deals with similar ideas of paranoia and mob mentality. What is also atypical is how the story treats the character of the Doctor. We're used to seeing the Doctor being the cleverest man in the room and exuding authority. At midnight, that notion is challenged by events. The Doctor's attempts to take control of the situation backfires, putting him in the proverbial firing line, and it also nearly costs him his life.
Yes.
It's the reversal of the Doctor's typical role, and it also gives Tennant the chance to give one of his best performances as a Tenth Doctor. Mm-hmm. Tennant's performance isn't the only strong performance on hand. There's strong performances all around, as the story starts off in a light mood before quickly heading off into darker territory. Perhaps no performance is stronger than that of Leslie Sharp as Skye Silvestri, the innocent and alone woman who soon becomes the center of whatever it is at the heart of this episode. Her performance is what really sells the terror of the others, giving them that something to be fearful of. There's an old saying that the simple things are often the best. When compared to some of the action and CGI-heavy episodes elsewhere in Doctor Who, Midnight proves that point. It's a simple tale of terror, paranoia, and mob mentality told in a highly effective way that makes it one of the highlights of the new series.
Yes.
Best wishes to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast from Matthew Kressel.
Thank you, Matthew.
Well, that's it for this episode of 20 Megabyte podcast.
We're not nice.
I don't know what you're doing differently this time, Adam, but I'm hearing the feedback very clearly this time.
Well, I'll tell you what I've done. Yeah. This is very clever. Right, prepare yourselves.
Oh.
I turned the volume up on the...
Whoa! Sometimes the simplest things are the most effective.
Well, unfortunately, though, it rather blasts through my eardrums through the headphones, so I'm now turning the volume down. So I can, be quiet.
What?
Yes, thank you, Matthew. Right, that sums up Midnight. Right, next week.
Turn
there left. Right. So
we'll get to
no, it won't be next week. I'm sorry, I forgot. The world ends on the 25th of December, so this is the very last episode of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Thanks for joining us. But meanwhile, while you've still got a few days to listen to the show, here's my notes on Midnight. Right. Fairly brief, actually. It's a fairly simple story, isn't it? Here we go. Midnight by Russell T. Davis.
Never heard of him.
Taking a big space truck with a bunch of strangers across a midnight planet called Midnight, what could possibly go wrong, is the Doctor's line at the beginning. Yes.
Why did it be a bus?
There was a bit of a... lead into the episode, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was a bit brief. But there you go. Obviously, because they wanted to fill a lot of the actual story into this particular episode which is quite good.
Worked the way they did
In fact, they could have done without the
pre-title
sequence, really. They could have just gone straight into it.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's a habit they've got into, apart from a couple of episodes. We find out that Allons-y is French for let's go.
Really? Mm-hmm.
I didn't know.
I like that bit because it was very important with the hostess finding out about the Doctor later on. So I thought that was good the way they did that.
But why didn't the TARDIS translate it, actually, the Doctor saying Allons-y into let's go?
He's choosing to speak in another
language.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just had to ask a question.
That's never bothered me.
No, it hasn't bothered me either. But I'm just sort of, I know some people like to pick up on things like that. So I am duty bound to mention it.
Like when he speaks to the Jadoon in a couple of episodes, he speaks in their language and it doesn't translate it because he's deliberately doing that.
Ah, there you go. Okay,
but what about Donna in the Fires of Pompeii when she's deliberately speaking...
Welsh?
Latin.
Well, that's what they think. But yes.
Right.
Language experts, what does molto bene mean?
Pass. It means very good in Italian.
Yeah. It means what in Italian?
Very good in Italian.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Bene is good. And multi means many, much.
Many much, yeah.
Okay.
Patrick Troughton's son is the Professor Hobbs.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. He was also in Curse of Peladon.
He was.
As King Peladon.
Yeah. He was also in the War Games, yes. And apparently as an uncredited extra in an earlier episode, somewhere in the 60s. Yeah. Obviously, wow. Patrick Troughton
story. Rifles or something.
Something like that.
One of these days, I need to see the Peladon stories.
You do?
Six episodes.
I enjoy all the Peladon episodes, actually.
Yeah, I do too, yeah.
I have them. I haven't watched them yet.
Steady on, Robert. Steady on your birth cycle.
Don't worry, neither have I.
Robert can be counted on for at least one of those every one of our podcasts.
At least. Right, Jethro is Merlin. Now, here's a question for you. What came first? Really? Episode one of series one of Merlin or this episode of Midnight? What came first?
Midnight.
Midnight did.
Yes.
It did by about 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, during the commentary, David Tennant makes reference to Merlin.
Yes. Because, of course, by the time they recorded the commentary, Merlin was on, or just about to start.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
But if you hadn't watched the commentary, well, some of them you can watch commentaries, can't you? Because they have the animal.
Yeah.
I'll move back to the episode. Right, they're on a little sort of Star Trek style space shuttle thing. Reminded me of Galileo 7.
Not a space shuttle, it's got tracks.
All right. But anyway, and it's called the Crusader 50. I think that's the type of ship it's called rather than its actual name. Yeah. The view is.
And everyone's in first class. Those are first class airline seats.
Cool, yeah. The view is shielded.
Only one section.
Yeah, I know. It's obviously it costs a lot of money to go on it. The view is shielded until they reach the Waterfall Palace. Apparently, that's what they're told.
That's a waste.
Yeah, there's been, of course, they didn't have enough money for the actual special effects. Really, I think that's probably basically.
I thought they did it well though.
I'm not complaining. No, they did brilliantly. Mm. This episode is good because it's basically an actor's episode. And
what's the name? Said a tour de force. Definitely a tour.
Yeah,
de force.
You didn't need any. They just
no.
carried it off with superb acting. Right. So there have been there has been a diamond fall, so they have to take a slight detour, which is convenient, obviously, for the plot. They're all given 4 hours of fun time via Retro Entertainment. I did put the question, why?
I like that.
And why, of course, did they have them all overlapping? Obviously, if they... I think... You know,
I know.
You'd have your own little personal screen and earphones.
I'd say it was a comment on the fact that our society is always addicted to finding something else to keep them entertained.
Yes,
because the doctor did just say we could just talk.
Yeah.
But what I like is after he shuts everything down, you know, and most everybody's pretty happy. That one family is like, "Well, wait a minute, what are we going to do?
What are we going to do?" Yeah.
So that rather spoke over the bit where I wrote down the doctor shuts it down with his sonic screwdriver, so they have to talk to each other. Now these things kick. So it's 150 kicks later, the geek
clicks.
Girl. Clicks. Yeah, sorry, I missed the L off. It was obviously auto spelling on this iPad thing. So 150 clicks later, the geek girl Dee Dee wrote a paper.
I liked her.
She was very small. Yeah, she was. Yeah. On the lost moon of Poosh. Now, does the lost moon of Poosh get mentioned in any other episodes?
Yes.
I thought it did.
Mind you, it's one of the planets missing.
It's one of the players that's missing.
Yeah, thank you.
I didn't pick up on that when I first watched it, though.
It does get mentioned twice, doesn't it? Because obviously Tennant likes to pronounce the word poosh in a Tennant-y way.
Poosh.
Yes. Everyone likes to say poosh.
Immediately after that, the gay agenda moment strikes. She needed her own space, says Skye.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether she and really emphasised the word she. Did you notice that?
No.
She really did, but she needed her own space.
She needed her own space.
And that she really emphasised the word she, if you listen. She didn't actually
say. You've got another copy than I do.
No, she didn't say she needed her own
space.
She did really go she.
Yeah, she did. She said she.
So,
I think you're just noticing that, though.
It's the first one for a few weeks, though, Reese.
You're just noticing that one, though, because she says it normally.
Can I just say, right? I hadn't seen this episode for ages, and I'd completely forgotten there was any gay agenda in it at all. So I wasn't expecting her to say it. So that's the fact that she said she, and it really stood out. She did emphasise it. And I've already said, nah, 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 so I'm right.
No, you were just looking at
it. You watch it again. Anyway, Professor Hobbs...
I just watched it 10 minutes ago. I just finished watching it.
Oh, be quiet. Professor Hobbs lectures them about midnight. Then the ship grinds to a halt. The Doctor cons his way into the cab, and he persuades the drivers to open the shield on the windscreen despite the danger. Now, it's his fault, is it not?
That's reckless.
Is it not his fault? Well, does that not then sort of... Because immediately after that...
Yeah, because then they see the shadow of the entity.
Yeah. That makes the entity realise there's something inside the box. Because anyway, in my view, anyway. So it's the Doctor's fault. Yeah, well, I think it is. Yep. But it's a lovely view. I must admit, though, I felt that the depiction of this alien diamondy thing didn't look anything more than CGI. It didn't look particularly good for me. What? It looked more like... it looked more like... something you would have seen in a classic Doctor Who scenery painting type thing. But I'm not moaning about it. I'm not moaning about it. I'm just saying that's how I felt when I saw it. In fact, I would have felt better if they had never cut back to the scenery and just had their faces sort of looking at the view and just take it that it was a nice view without actually seeing it.
Yeah.
It would have, for me, had a better impact.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, today's audiences, you know, they want to, what are you looking at? We can, you know, with the modern computer graphics, you know, everybody would wonder, why are we being cheated of seeing that?
Yes, but the thing is, though, we never really saw the alien. We just heard it banging a few times. It possessed
that's the whole point,
a couple
though.
Of characters.
And that, so right, that right. was very effective.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it would have been the same for the scenery. You didn't need to see it. Because it'd already been described.
Well, another thing, you think about the end when the rescue vehicle comes. They didn't need to show that. They just needed to hear a thing over the intercom saying, you know, we're here to rescue.
Exactly.
I'm pulling up alongside you.
Yes, that's right.
Are you a little short for a stormtrooper?
And also, this episode would work quite perfectly as an audio adventure as well. Hello? Anybody there?
Well, there's a stage version of it too.
No, I saw you posted something on that. Will you stop flapping your ears?
Sorry.
Right, the driver thinks he saw a shadow. Vashti Narada, maybe? Okay, before the shields are put
too
back
soon,
down again.
Too soon.
Passengers start speculating and panicking. They're very highly strung, these passengers, it's got to be said.
Yes.
I know it's the alien getting into their heads and sort of making them a bit loopy, but... Mm. Yeah, hang on. Have an ill person entering the studio. Aww. What's the matter, baby? I'm sorry, it's still farting. Have you been sick? No. Sorry. You've still got your water bottle. Okay. You ain't got no water? I didn't get what she said then.
Plenty of water.
No, she's got a drink. Have you got a drink? Right, she's got a drink. Yeah, she's got a drink. Just give me an update on her condition. Poor thing. Anyway, where did I get up to?
I read that the 50 on the Crusader 50 was on purpose because this was supposed to be the 50th episode of the new series, but then they went and reorganized the episode, so it wasn't anymore.
Cool. Of course. Right, banging. Oh, some of the banging starts happening on the outside, don't I? Apparently, extonic light should destroy any living thing in a split second.
Yeah, in a second, yeah.
It's special glass.
Yeah, I know, but apparently so.
15 feet thick. Not on the Crusader, but...
Yeah, where Donna is, yeah.
Yeah. Even the bored-looking Jethro looks scared at this point.
Merlin.
Sky thinks it's coming for her, and you get the overhead camera shot. The ship rocks a little bit. Everybody gets thrown around. And then the Doctor gets up and says, arms, legs, necks?
Yeah.
Arms, legs, neck, head, nose. I'm fine. Then the TV behind him just was displaying a woman singing, begins showing a picture of Rose Tyler shouting, Doctor!
Yeah.
Doctor.
No, I didn't notice that when I first watched that.
No, I didn't either.
Apparently they borrowed that bit and inserted it into episode 5 because which wasn't supposed to be on episode 5, but Russell T. Davis loved it so much. Right at the last minute, just before broadcast, they popped episode 5 as well. But only lasts for a couple of seconds, this particular image. The hostess soon discovers that the drivers are dead and, hello? You want me to stay in your room? Well, well, calm, darling, I'm in here. Well, we'll be back in there at some point. Sorry.
Mm.
You've got the remote, haven't you? Anyway. Hey? You got the remote, haven't you? Yeah, okay. No. Oh dear. Panic, more panic ensues. Yeah, sorry, more panic ensues. The doctor promises that they all get out of there in his usual sort of not. Well, he lied a little bit there, didn't he? Because he wasn't.
Yes,
yeah,
about
ordered,
the hostess and Sky.
And then, what happened there? Something has possessed Sky. It copies what the doctor's saying, and then everybody else is saying, and then 60 minutes until rescue, apparently, says the hostess. Which is a bit of a shame because we've already had about 15, 20 minutes of the episode anyway. Sky is now saying everything at the same time as everybody, and the doctor wants him to stay quiet because he doesn't want Sky becoming him, because as it happens, he's special. The hostess suggests.
This is the last of the Time Lords.
Yeah, yes, it is.
So special.
Not him.
Special.
So special.
The hostess suggests throwing Sky out. It's nice. The passengers seem to like the idea, but the doctor says no. They all want to murder her. The doctor manages to make them think that throwing him out first is a better idea. They all start doubting the doctor. A row begins. Sky is only copying the doctor at this point, and then she starts speaking first. It's very creepy, that. But brilliant.
Yes.
The doctor looks like he's struggling against possession. Now, that's the brilliant part of this, the expression on Tennant's face during this whole thing where he's just like panicking. Yeah. And
I like the way he shows losing control, that he can't, you know, when he freezes, he can't do anything.
You saw the fear in his eyes, didn't you?
Yeah.
He starts shuddering just because he can't do anything.
Yes.
Worrying him.
Yeah.
And then he has a line of spittle just going down his mouth.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Make a mess there.
Lovely. Thank you. I'll have some too.
What have I got? I've got potato flakes, some sausages, some vegetables, marinara mix.
Thank you. Lovely.
Yeah, I'll have some of that too.
Plates full.
Oh, good. Well, if you can share some out, that's brilliant.
Yeah, share some out, yes.
Breakfast. Would you like it?
I'll just send some other plates for you.
Sent digitally. they all believe.
Ones and zeros, that's tasty for me.
They all believe that the alien has passed into the doctor. Dee Dee seems to understand what is really going on, but everyone else, apart from the hostess, doubts it. Biff grabs the doctor to throw him out. The doctor catches his foot on a seat leg. The hostess grabs Sky and sacrifices herself to save the others. And the doctor is a bit.
Does that mean that he ends up stealing a sports thing in the future? And never mind.
Huh?
I'm lost.
Biff. Yeah, I'm lost too.
His character's name is Biff from Back to the
Future. Ah, right.
Yes.
Why did I not pick up on that one? Anyway, the doctor is a bit traumatised by the time he meets back up with Donna. End of the story. And there's a fairly brief synopsis. So that's basically what happens, but it doesn't detract from how brilliant it was. And it doesn't detract from how wrong everybody is to say that Russell T. Davies isn't I nearly swore then, brilliant writer.
I nearly swore then, writer.
What's so good about this is Doctor Who, like I say, it can do anything. And this is another example of something new. They're in one set. Forget about the bits with Donna, because basically they are in one set for the whole episode, and it's all on acting.
It's like Hitchcock sort of wrote.
It's fantastic.
Right. Yeah. It's a great story that can be put in any genre. It doesn't have to be sci-fi.
No. It's brilliantly written, brilliantly acted, brilliantly directed. Everything.
Fan version that a group of theatre actors did on stage. They changed the character of the Doctor so that it wasn't quite infringing any copyright, and they did it on stage. And that would be amazing to see and hard to do, because it involved looking into the other person's eyes and trying to get the lines exactly right at the same time. Right.
Yeah.
So you don't get different takes at all like they did with this, but I'd love to see that.
And of course, Leslie Sharp, her eye acting was just incredible, as much as David Tennant's.
Mm-hmm. It's like you know, you see the smugness when she knows she's gained control.
Yeah.
You know, that shows in her eyes compared to before when she was frightened. Yeah. When she's starting to repent. Yeah, just excellent. Yeah.
And when she's standing up there in the crowd with the little spotlight right on her all the time, she looked evil incarnate.
Yeah, I mean, completely believable performances all around. It just, again, it rather emphasizes my point of this being the best series of Doctor Who so far.
Yes.
Of course, it does make me wonder when they talk about how the exonic light can, you know, destroy you in a split second. Two times. Once when they open the door to the now destroyed cockpit.
Yes.
And then when the hostess opens the door to.
Yeah, they explain it.
Mm. Yeah, the six second shield or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was an air shield. I didn't know that was also. Yeah, because that's just open to the planet itself. So there's no glass, nothing to protect.
Yeah.
No, that's why the hostess was counting down from six until they flew out the airlock.
Because then the air shield took them, yeah. But I'm saying about the light, there was nothing.
And that protected
them
from the light too, somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
It's only
just a
story.
Sci-fi. Just go with it.
Aha, Kirby. Right.
It's not real.
How dare you say that?
Yeah, I mean, like I say, it's difficult trying to pick holes in this one. Like I say, I did mention a couple of things that don't matter. I mean, the fact that they put the view on that it doesn't matter. They tried to represent a view of it, and they did their best for a view of a completely alien world. What more could they do? Mm-hmm. There was no need to represent the alien in a physical form. It was all down to the suspense and your imagination, how Doctor Who works best.
Yeah, you know something else with that, with the alien, though, is also I like that they didn't have to go and explain things. Like, you know, most ones would say, oh, well, this just happens to be an entity that just exists that likes warm-blooded things, wants company, whatever. They didn't have to go out and out, you know, be so forthright about things. It was just like, I don't know.
Well, the less we knew, the scarier it was.
Yes, precisely. Yeah, that's what made it more effective. Yeah,
Reese, you're in tune with the negative Doctor Who fandom people who like to slag. How is this story? You know, perceived in the negative RTD hating world.
I rarely see it commented about, actually. It's one
Which
of the ones
that...
Yes, yeah, but in either in a positive light or a negative light, people just seem to accept this one, I think, because there's nothing too wrong with it, but there's also nothing too mind-blowing in terms of, say, the season arc or the story arc, because it's just a very standalone episode. So I guess they accept it for what it is.
Yeah.
And I haven't really... Apart from episodes of podcasts where they review it, I haven't really heard it or seen it talked about much.
No, the people that obviously say ITD was rubbish, you can always say at least, what about Midnight? But there are obviously other episodes as well that fall into that category. But for this, certainly, for me, is probably his best episode.
Well, and in this episode, the Doctor has no advantage. He's reduced to the same emotions and the same... everything is the other people in there. So maybe because he doesn't stand out as the Doctor in this, people overlook it.
Yeah.
Mm.
So,
but also for the because he gets taken over and he can't do anything about it. He's at mercy.
Exactly. Yeah. Which, of course, for the viewer is quite scary when the hero is taken over.
Yeah.
You think how's he going to get out of that one?
So, what do the kids think about it, Adam?
Well, Isabella hasn't seen it. Alicia hasn't watched it probably since it went out. And mind you, she's watched quite a lot of these episodes over and over again. I don't know. There you go. That's my honest answer.
You don't remember what she thought about it when she first watched it?
Well, I'm pretty sure she liked it because she liked all Doctor Who, new Doctor Who at that stage, but she's got a lot of things on her mind at the moment.
Especially David Tennant too.
No, not that age. When Tennant was the Doctor,
I'm just thinking something Brice wrote in his blog.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Kirby, what do you reckon?
Huh?
What do you reckon?
What? You're a bit of yourself.
So sorry. I'm recovering from a cold, so I'm not entirely here this week.
Oh, you guys are listening.
So, now, what did you think of this episode, Kirby?
Oh, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
That's right, Trey. Because there's usually occasionally, even on the better episodes, you do find something that just you don't like, that doesn't, you know, goes against the grain.
Not always.
Just occasionally.
And there wasn't anything within the pod there that you saw that you needed to look up on Wikipedia?
I'm surprised.
They're picking on Kirby again.
I already commented about the first class airline seat.
Yeah, well done.
I thought you just knew that from traveling on them all the time.
I was in business class once.
Oh, right.
We were upgraded on the trip back from on our second trip back from China with my geek daughter.
Cool.
Which is fairly topical because there's a geek character in this story.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, anyway,
geeks doing this story too.
So there we go. That's our our view on Midnight. We love it. There we go. Yeah.
it's not one of the shortest 20 megabytes. Yeah,
I know. It's a fairly simple story. There's not much because you got what you're going to pick. They're in one sort of room, and they're being sort of hounded by an alien which they don't know, can't see, and they're not sure where he is. There's not much more you can say about the synopsis. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you do a commentary on it, you're going to end off going on a tangent, rather like Russell T. Davis, David Tennant, and Alice Troughton did on the audio commentary, basically talking about, you know, the actors and how good it was to get certain actors for the episode and what the actors in the episode are now doing, etc., etc. It doesn't detract from the fact it was a brilliant episode, even though it's a short synopsis.
It's very, very good cast too. Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
But as good as it is, it's not one I go back and watch.
No, me neither.
It's too generic horror, and I don't like horror movies.
Mm. Mm-hmm. That's fair enough.
Last week I said I don't watch this one a lot, although I may watch it more since it's first time I've seen it in couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the ones I don't watch a lot, but it's nice when I do get to watch it. And I don't want to, sometimes you don't want to watch them over and over again, and it's nice to occasionally come back and forget things, you know, like I said about the bit where Skye's, I couldn't remember there being such a lot of background to Skye's character.
No, that's what I was surprised too.
I didn't either, yeah.
I'm going to have to pause. I think Isabella's being sick. Hang on, I'll just have to pause a sec.
Can I ask you guys something? With Skye, was the alien attracted to her because she just recently split up with her girlfriend?
I think she's more emotionally vulnerable, and I think that may give him, you know, give the alien a, you know, a path to her.
I think that's why.
Because the way she's saying, "Oh, it's coming after me,"
She started off by saying she, as in the she broke up with, was centered after her, apparently. She was that paranoid.
And something I couldn't remember was, I was thinking maybe this entity's got something to do with her girlfriend as well. Just the fact that it seemed to be centered on her and it seemed to be a bad...
There's a contract out on her by the girlfriend, huh?
Yeah.
Well, no, I just took it to mean that because he plays with their emotions, the alien does, that because she's the most emotionally vulnerable, that she would be the first, you know, that he would attack.
She did look very flustered the whole episode before she got possessed. She kind of doesn't know exactly where she is because of what's happening in her private life.
Mm-hmm.
And she even sat apart from the others as well, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That just clears that up for me. And Mary?
Yes?
When does Blood and Chrome start, the Battlestar Galactica?
February. When I watch the trailers for it, it just says coming to Sci-Fi Channel in February.
I can't see those trailers here either. When I tried to look, it says this is not accessible from your region.
Where are we, Narnia?
Well, there are trailers that get posted on the 20 megabyte that I can't watch.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
If I could use a proxy server. Maybe I could post.
Most of the time,
I don't know what. I mean, we have the Sci-Fi Channel. I don't know what you have there.
Well, we do have the Sci-Fi Channel here. Or how's
Australia.
Yeah. How is it pronounced here? Sci-Fi.
Yes.
Sci-Fi. Yeah. But the trailers say coming in February, so I think that's perfect because that's Doctor Who gap time. So,
yes.
What's the last trailer that you haven't been able to watch? I've been able to watch.
This was one for Battlestar Galactica.
I'm talking to Mary though. She says,
"Yeah, I know you mean." Like, yeah.
Posted on.
Well, it's been a while. There, sometimes when Reese or Ian have posted. Things, then I can't. It says that unless I have iPlayer or something, I can't watch it.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, Kirby, I emailed the guy from the podcast that wants to interview.
Tempus.
Yeah.
And it's been crickets. I haven't heard anything back.
Huh.
So if he never gets back to me, but he gets a hold of you, you could let him know.
I will. it's in only a couple of days.
Yeah, it's Wednesday.
So thank you for all the stuff you've been posting, Kirby, as well. You found
I always
heaps
post
of stuff.
Did you see my comment? Did you get this stuff?
Yes.
Yes.
You spend all your time on the internet digging up all
That's
these
what
weird
it looks
sites.
Like.
Yes.
Yes.
I was looking for a little bit of video from Fairly Odd Parents because my immediate reaction to your question was I think of the scene from the Fairly Odd Parents where Timmy Turner says, "Internet."
Yeah. Well, yeah, but
duh.
You got to do some digging around because I don't think you come up with the same site twice. It's always something new.
Yes.
Hello.
Right.
I'm
back.
You're back? I'm back.
He's front back. And sides, too. Front and sides.
Okay. Mary?
Yes?
How long... I've just given Isabella some ibuprofen solution stuff. How long will it take to actually get into her system before she... in between now and her
about
throwing up again?
10 minutes.
You gave her liquid?
Yes.
Yeah.
Liquid. It should take about half an hour.
Yeah, so if she throws up by 12:15, it would be in her system. Hello?
Should be.
Yeah.
Some of it would be. Uh-huh.
That's all I wanted to know. Sorry. Okay.
What you should get, and I know this, I know kids hate this, but it's real effective, is get the suppository form.
Yeah, okay.
Really?
Yeah,
because
no,
then
sure
it doesn't matter if they're sick. It'll all get into the system.
That's fine. A good point. Yes, yeah. I don't think we have... that without prescription.
The 20 anyway. Megabyte medical podcast.
Well, I just wanted to know. Because I put some Calpol in her about 3 hours ago and she threw up and it was all Calpol coloured. So I'm pretty sure not much of that got into her system. So we're trying to alternate, do ibuprofen, then paracetamol alternatively.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think much
How
of the paracetamol.
How long has this been going on, Adam?
She threw up first at 5 a.m. That was nearly 7 hours ago. Yeah. Anyway, right then. Magic, stop fidgeting. Have we covered Midnight? What were we on just a minute ago, in between me disappearing to tip buckets of sick down the toilet and wash my hands several times?
Yeah.
We were talking about where Kirby gets all the fun things he posts on the Facebook group.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. Shall we move on to a bit
internet.
Of
internet.
Yeah, the internet. Thank you for that.
And I have not heard back from the guy on the podcast that wanted to do an interview.
No,
Yeah, I emailed him after you and Kirby sent me, a copy of his email, and I haven't heard back.
No, I haven't heard back from my publishers either after completing the Beatles quiz book. But maybe they're on holiday, Christmas and all that. Anyway, what's the matter with you? You're hyperventilating.
I'm just copying Robin.
Ventolin. Apparently, Doctor Who 50 thing, there's talk about Sidney Newman and stuff. There's quite a lot of blurb there. So you want to read that, I suggest going to www.doctorwhonews.net where you can actually read a very big article about Sidney Newman I haven't got time. Well, I have got time to read that. Well, I'm not going to. Now, Doctor Who to return, April 2013. Doctor Who magazine has...
Oh, finally we understand. Maybe we get to know. That's good.
Doctor Who magazine have confirmed that the current series of Doctor Who will return to BBC One in April next year. Though it is too early for specific time and date, or date and time even, to be revealed. Now, what's all this about, oh, what we're going to do, we're going to move Doctor Who to the autumn so it's nice dark nights.
Uh-huh. Well, it is already with us.
So what they've gone and done, they've gone and slapped it right back where Russell T. Davies had it in April, in the, where it's going to be light in the evening.
Adam, forget it. Oh, there I go with my
Adam.
No, you're forgetting something, though.
Am I?
This is still from this. Well, from this series 7, yeah. Isn't it?
Yes.
So they're right. Still going to have Series 8 in autumn, though.
No, I accept this, but I thought the whole idea of changing the way they had, because I used to like it when we used to have 13 episodes all in one series, but the whole idea was so as we'd have Doctor Who in the autumn. And there's
that, Moffat?
All of it in autumn. I thought that's what they were easing us into, but they're clearly not doing that.
You know what that else brings me to? Has anybody seen the new trailer?
I think one of the trailers.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
And we got Jenna Louise Coleman saying, Doctor Who?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
But to be fair, if somebody says, I'm the Doctor, in real life, you're going to say Doctor Who, aren't you? If they just say, I'm the Doctor. No. Most doctors would say, I'm Doctor Whoever.
Anymore, because I'd be doing a Moffat, and I don't want to.
Because Jenna Louise Coleman's character would automatically assume that he's a Doctor of Medicine or something. So she'd obviously say, it's like, I'm the Mister, or I'm the Professor. You'd ask who... what their name is, you know, not just
Professor Who,
what their title is, wouldn't you?
Yes.
And Marianne.
Hey,
the Professor and Marianne here on Gilligan's Island.
Oh, God. Anyway, like I say, it says though the series of Doctor Who, it will often premiere on Easter weekend, this isn't always the case, and next year Easter Sunday falls on the 31st of March.
Jeez.
But of course, like I say, the world ends on the 23rd of December, so we should just put all the episodes out now so we can see them before the end of the end of the world. That's funny. Talking about the end of the world, now people may scoff at this end of the world thing, but if one of those super volcanoes erupts, it could well be the end of the world, and that's the sort of thing. Yeah, of course, it could be though. What if two of the super volcanoes erupts? There's one in Yellowstone Park, isn't there? Or is it Yellowstone Park? Sorry, I was thinking of Yogi Bear for a moment.
Yogi Bear,
right, boo boo. No, Scooby Doo. Right. get up to.
And I see on the Doctor Who news that the BBC is going to have a new arrangement of the Doctor Who theme and a revamped opening title sequence.
Yes, indeed.
Like
they were sort of revamped it anyway, didn't they? For the first five episodes, they sort of changed it a little bit on each
just
one.
Just not the theme tune.
No. But they do tend to revamp the theme tune from time to time. And, of course, the TARDIS interior gets a regular revamp.
No.
Oh,
no.
Shut up.
And the interior. You see the pictures of how battered it is.
It is. But good, because I like the fact that that's a bit of consistency going on, because it did look a little bit brand new, because it was brand new. And now, of course, the Doctor's been flying around for at least 200 years. I'd be interested in how it got so battered up. So obviously there's some missing adventures somewhere in between him saying goodbye to Amy and Rory and River, because obviously he's been with River for a time. And maybe that's one of the reasons why he's a bit grumpy, because he's probably said his final goodbye to her, knowing that she's gone off to the library to get killed.
No, she went to Australia.
Yeah.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We saw her.
Yeah, well, we'll be talking about...
exciting. Which, by the way, I want to hear more from Reese.
Oh, God, we'll count that as news. Go on then, Reese.
All right, well, I went to the second Symphonic Spectacular.
Woo!
And it was,
and
it was brilliant.
was it made more fun by the fact you had your young nephew with you?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
He ended up sitting on my lap watching the show.
Aw.
first off, just going to the Opera House and being inside it was quite an experience. I've never done that before, and I think as an Australian, that's kind of a... It should be on the bucket list of things to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm just happy that the first thing I saw there was a Doctor Who related thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
a Dalek.
and the show. But it was like the one down in Melbourne. We had virtually the same lineup of music, but having Alex Kingston there and Mark Williams was probably the highlight of the show, because when Alex came out, there was a round of applause that lasted for a good 30 seconds, and it just got louder and louder as it went on.
I love your description in your blog that it was a wall of sound.
And basically, afterwards, she held her hand up to her mouth and said, "Hello, sweeties." And Mum and I were going to shout that anyway. And it was a whole lot of fun. And the only way to describe it is to send you to listen to my excitement over hearing Murray Gold's music live in my review of the first one down in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Which I reviewed in episode 40 of Who is the Man podcast.
Yes, so listeners, and that's episode 40 of Who is the Man podcast, which is still available, isn't it, Reese?
Yes.
And your parents are on it.
Even watching some of the YouTube postings of the orchestra doing it, there's just something about a live orchestra playing it that makes it so much more exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Never seen that, but I'd love to.
Well, they're easy to find.
No, I mean live. Oh, you know what I mean. No, live. Oh, I've never been to a live orchestral performance. Be quiet.
Well, no, they're laughing at me because I mistook what you were saying.
Yeah. God.
But it was a lot of fun, but they had clever technical things like down in Melbourne when the silence came out on the stage and amongst the audience. They had a spotlight on them the whole time, but this time...
idea what you're talking
about. How do you remember that? Chris?
Yeah.
Because that joke's worn off on me and I've avoided that joke because it's not funny anymore.
What joke? Yes.
That joke about forgetting the silence.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm going to avoid you from now on. It's like Ben, last time I tried to talk about the last show, he kept interrupting me. They had a spotlight on them whole time last time, but this time they shone it on them for a few seconds and then turned it off and they moved, and with the music playing and the lights and the big screen playing clips, you did forget about them for a second, and then the light shone back on them and you went, oh yeah, they're walking around. So
clever.
It was a clever play on the situation and the fact that they do make things.
That wasn't me. Sorry. That was Robert.
No, that was Adam. It was Adam.
I can't say oi and burp at the same time.
Or was that Isabel?
Oh, no. No, Isabella's gone a bit quiet. You all right, Isabella? Yes, she's all right at the moment. Carry on, Reese.
Well, Reese, there were no glitches this time. I remember last time you spoke of how they were having some problems and everybody got out their sonic screwdrivers, but no chance to do that this time, huh? Yeah.
Last time, that happened when they were playing the audio and the video for the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I was going to say the Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe. And they had the dialogue and the sound effects, but not the music. And they were trying to cue it up, but it always started playing before the orchestra was ready, or they'd start before it was ready, and then the screen wouldn't come on, and there was just the sound effects. So basically, when that was happening down in Melbourne, we all got our sonic screwdrivers out and pointed it at it, and it was like Christmas lights amongst the audience, just all these different blue and red ones from River's sonic screwdriver and green ones from the 11th Doctor's screwdriver, and that was a bit of fun. But they worked that out with this one, and there wasn't any technical problems, which was actually a bit of a shame because it was quite cute having that happen.
Yeah,
spontaneous.
Yeah, and I did post a video just probably an hour ago now of Alex Kingston breaking into the Gangnam Style dance when she said...
Yeah, I saw that you posted it, but I haven't been able to watch it.
Oh, I have to see that. When you describe it,
minute or so.
Alex Kingston doing that?
Well, she said, we want you to enjoy the feeling of Christmas, and we're talking Northern Hemisphere style, and she breaks into it because we want... snow and things, and obviously we don't really get that here.
But everybody seems to be breaking into Gangnam Style now, don't they? So it seems to be world thing.
Yeah.
The few pictures you did post, you know, everybody in their t-shirts, it's really odd to think about Christmas with people in t-shirts.
Yeah.
It's really odd to think about Christmas with people not in t-shirts, I could tell you that.
Mary, Carrie,
costume. I was very hot.
Yeah, I'll be wearing a t-shirt this Christmas.
It gets very hot here.
Very
hot. Does it? Oh. Yeah. Why so few pictures?
Well, we did... That was very... Yeah, Reese, what?
Oh, and, didn't get any of that. Sorry, I didn't get what you said because Robert was laughing. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. It was my dad who was taking pictures on his iPhone, and he didn't want to keep getting out of his pocket, so I'd blame him.
Oh,
bit of a shame, isn't it?
Could have brought a camera.
Yeah, I agree with Kirby. They are readily available.
So, what was it like being inside the Sydney Opera House? That is such an iconic building.
Bigger on the inside, isn't it?
That's hard to imagine.
Well, actually, they did a great thing at both shows, the one down in Melbourne and here. They had blue lights shining in different directions around the theatre, and they also had the interior inside. Sounds of the tarts playing.
Yeah, you mentioned about that.
Oh.
And just it made you feel... All right.
Okay.
All right.
And it feel like you were in the TARDIS, and... Being in the Opera House, it's very hard to describe because it looks really interesting and iconic on the outside, but on the inside, there are all these lovely architectural things, and it's very hard to describe, but you know the way theatres are sometimes designed with funny-looking designs to make it sound really good acoustically?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
The whole roof and ceiling of this is designed like that, and it looks like it was a wooden carving, but it's all concrete, which is very surprising.
I've only seen Australian Idol.
Oh, really?
Is it as grand feeling on the inside as it looks from the outside?
Oh, yes. The biggest inside of a theatre that I've been in, and, well, it's probably the grandest looking. I've been in the Melbourne Exhibition Centre where the last one was, and that was a pretty big place, but it was like an arena. It felt like it was just a normal layout, but this was grand and had lovely decorations and patterns on the wall and things like that, and it's hard to describe, and I'm going to try and Google a picture of it,
but of course it would have been easier to describe if you actually take some pictures of it.
did it
sound good though acoustically? Was it
Oh yeah, it did. But
better than last time.
It was, except for they had the PA system up very loud, so the message from Matt Smith and things like that was almost deaf, and it was all very crunchy because it was so loud.
Oh my, yeah. Now you went to the first performance, right?
I went to the second one because I think they started the whole event off with a matinee, which is at 2 o'clock, but we were still driving there at that time.
So Matt Smith was there. He went to a matinee.
Well, I just wondered, if maybe they had adjusted the sound, after you to make it less, overwhelming.
Maybe it was too quiet the first one and they turned it up and they went too far.
Yeah.
At the interval, they could have turned it down again. I don't know. That was just a minor annoyance. The whole night was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, like I say, what Reese did post may be on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, of course, which you can join. And what if he'd taken some more photographs, they would have appeared there as well, but never mind.
Yes, they would have done, but my father didn't take more pictures.
Well, you should have taken the blooming pictures.
Yeah.
Couldn't, I wanted to be in them. I was dressed up for the occasion.
Yeah, exactly.
And I have to anywhere near the amount of the... of cosplayers as there were down in Melbourne.
You mentioned that.
A lot more people dressed there than they did in Sydney.
Anyway.
Blame it on the people in Sydney.
Thank you for that, Reese. I will report that Isabella has fallen asleep. There's me shouting into the other room, "Are you right, Isabella?" And she was asleep. Aww. So I'm hoping that will remain the case at least for the next 15 minutes for the
for the medicine to take effect,
Talking of... previews or trailers. There's a trailer for Doctor Who here, and it goes like this.
There's a man. He lives on a cloud, and all he does is to stop all the children in the world ever having bad dreams.
Tomorrow the snow will fall and so shall mankind.
Such a winter as this world has never known is coming.
It will build an army of ice.
What should we do?
Cure who?
Doctor who?
More dangerous question.
What's wrong with dangerous? No.
No, no, I do the hand grabbing. That's my job. That's always me.
Doctor Who, this Christmas on BBC One and BBC One HD.
There we go.
Excuse me.
Lovely research.
It is.
I've just said dinner.
Oh, goodness.
Did you hear that? I agree.
Yes.
That's my wife. Yes.
Just over a week to go.
To what?
To
what?
To the snowman.
The Christmas special.
It's a bit longer here, thank you.
Well, still just over a week.
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah. Lucky UK now, and
I've heard I've heard reports that Sylvester McCoy in The Hobbit is superb. Anybody seen it yet?
Yeah. No, it's not on here yet.
Well, I haven't seen it either. But I do want to see Life of Pi in 3D. I'm hoping to get
that looks good, doesn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, I've heard it's really, really good.
I want to say I was going to read the book, but now the film's out, I'll just go and watch the film and then read the book, maybe. I don't know. But I'm looking forward to seeing that one. No, but none of the other members of my family want to see it, so that's something I'll be going to watch, hopefully, on my own. Right, what else we got going on?
We'll probably go see The Hobbit this coming weekend.
Oh, good. Then you can do a little review of it. And I mean little. But the trouble is, this is the last episode, so I don't know how we're going to get around that problem.
Right.
It's time for me to shut down and go, guys, so I'll have to say goodbye. Till next time. Is next time on Sunday or Monday or what?
Sunday, I believe.
Sunday, I hope.
Yeah. If you listen very carefully, you better hear the clock.
Yay! Clock.
Hello, clock.
Oh, the clock.
We missed the clock.
Bye, Robert. Bye, Reese.
Bye, Mary. By the way, it's been nice knowing you.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Mary.
Right then, what else have we got here? Oh, there's a Bonham's auction, and there are a few lots of interest to Doctor Who fans. Went under the hammer, including the Dalek Invasion of Earth poster, which sold for $625. Planet of Spiders scripts.
The first item to come under the hammer is this glass jar.
Be quiet. Planet of Spiders original scripts are £875. SV7 costume from Robots of Death. Ooh, that's a night and a half.
SV7.
$2,500. Will you? Heard it here first, listeners.
Me?
Revelation of the Daleks autograph scripts for episode 1 and 2 failed to sell, and they wanted £500 to £600 for those. Remembrance of the Daleks autographed OB sheet, that means upside ball craft, anybody didn't know, £187. Foam shark model from A Christmas Carol was £875. What does TW mean?
That's kind of heavy for
Torchwood. Yes, what's quite heavy? Well, foam shark.
You said it was 800 pounds.
Good God.
Get out.
Anyway, Torchwood scale corpse model from Countryside, £250. Captain Jack's coat, £2,125. Jack's safe door, £312. Jack's bedroom hatch door, worn out, £250. Martha Jones costume from Reset, £625. Gwen Cooper's costume from Meat, £312. Sarah Jane Adventures, Sarah's costume from Invasion of the Bane, £1,250. Two slab costumes, £350. Eve's costume from The Mad Woman in the Attic, £250. Andravat's costume from Prisoner of the Jadoon and Vault of the Secrets, £450. Clyde Langer costume. So I don't know, as a costume of Clyde Langer, was it the whole thing? He's got his head and his arms. Makes it sound like some sort of monster costume climb into. And now I'm Clyde Langer, £500. Shanshi's part costume from Death of the Doctor, £687. Two Mr. Dread costumes from The Vault of Secrets, £200. And Sarah's car, a 1991 Nissan Figaro two-door Targa Coupe. I thought she had a little sports car, actually. Anyway, that was £6,000. There we go. That was the Bonham's auction.
Please don't throw auction hammers at me.
Doctor Who... I'll start again. Doctor Who Ultimate List of Lists apparently is some sort of guide that's coming out. Oh, it's a TV program.
It's always out of date.
It's a program. It's a TV program, which goes out on the 21st of December on BBC America. So look out for that one. Devil in the Smoke, An Adventure of the Great Detective. Now, is that a Melody Pond book is actually out?
Yes, I know.
I think so.
You can download it. It's quite cheap, actually.
It is, yeah.
Quite cheap. I think I did download it. I haven't read it yet. New edition of Doctor Adventures is out with some more freebies, including a sort of bow tie. Canine
sort of
Christmas.
Bow tie.
Yes, it's a bow tie. Canine Christmas. There's a canine episode going on Christmas Day.
No.
Sci-fi.
Show the entire first series of Canine here on Sci-Fi.
Do they?
Or Sci-Fi.
And Adam's going to sit down and watch all of it.
Joy.
Rapture. Yes, you are.
No. Well, I don't know if it'll be shown on Sci-Fi in Britain.
I'm only kidding.
Might do. Unlikely, though. But although one of the watch shows Doctor Who, the channel in the UK. There is another BBC America Doctor Who trailer. Do we want to listen to this?
It's all goes short.
It's
everyone's favourite Christmas tradition.
Hello?
Did you make this, Simon? Because it wasn't there a second ago.
That's not possible.
There is danger here.
This snow is a terrible weapon in the wrong hands.
Winter is coming. The last winter of humankind.
Doctor Who, The Snowman, premieres Christmas night at 9, followed by an all-new...
That's odd.
...show with special guest Matt Smith.
Get this serious person doing the voiceover.
What's that?
That's Mark Shepherd.
It was very quiet, that, wasn't it? Don't know quite why it was so quiet. Doctor Who Christmas competition, they've got some sort of... you've got a best...
Oh, yes.
Guess the viewing figures, and you get some sort of prize. The prize is delighted to invite the winner to a recording of the Big Finish.
Recording, with Sylvester McCoy.
Richard Peter McCoy is a doctor, which takes place on the 21st of January 2013. That's quite a good prize, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Be a better prize if you could actually have some sort of cameo in the episode itself.
But well, maybe you might. They might. You don't know.
Indeed. That's it for news.
I tell you what.
What?
The more previews that I see for The Snowman, the more I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. And also I've heard a bit of Gandalf as well. One of the previews I watched had a bit of Gandalf, which is, sounded superb, and clearly him. And sometimes these actors' voices aren't as clear, especially Michael Sheen The Doctor's Wife. It wasn't clearly him. You couldn't sort of pinpoint, oh, I recognise that voice, unlike Imelda Staunton in The Girl Who Waited, but you could clearly hear that was who it was.
Speaking of Doctor Who actors, last night I watched Shaun of the Dead for the first time.
What did you think of it? Did you like it?
It was great.
You loved it?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I haven't seen that one yet, but I'm sure it's very good.
And it's just littered with actors from Doctor Who.
Yes.
Doesn't surprise me. I said that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, apparently there's only, what, 2 dozen actors in Great Britain?
That's true, because they've all gone to America.
It used to be like that in Doctor Who in the 70s, though, too, didn't it?
Yeah. The 20 megabyte podcast, of course, is sponsored by whoone.co.uk. And,
is that whoone.co.uk?
Shush!
There it is.
The week leading up to Christmas, a very limited period of time to buy your Christmas gifts from whoone.co.uk. And as I said last week, special offer, TARDIS console for $14.99.
You can still buy afterwards as well. It doesn't matter. You can still
buy
afterwards. Yeah.
Yes, but I'm just pointing it out. There aren't any new things than what I said last week. That's good English, isn't it? But if you want to get some good gifts, including a certain gift, I apparently got the bathrobe stroke wardrobe. I was going to say wardrobe stroke. what do they call those dressing gowns? That's it. TARDIS dressing gown. You can buy yours from whoone.co.uk along with City of Death audiobook and Destiny of the Daleks audiobook. And
but I want the junk TARDIS console.
Doctor Who magazine. 455 with a sort of picture of Matt Smith and Jenna Louise Coleman in festive colour. on the cover. So that's that side of things. I'm trying to see if there's anything else to talk about. What do you reckon?
Well, I've got one more thing I'd like to say.
Oh.
While I was at the Symphonic Spectacular, the ABC Whovians approached me and said I was the best dressed doctor there, and they took a picture of me. Ooh. And I just posted that picture on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, and it's on their website.
Oh, I can see a nice picture of the interior of the Sydney Opera.
Excellent.
Yeah. Lovely photo. Who took that?
Someone on Google.
I don't see the picture that you've... I see the Sydney Opera House picture. Where's the other?
Yeah, I can't see the other one that you just posted.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Has it come up yet,
though? Yes, there it is.
Oh, stop arguing.
It's not on mine.
It's there now. Refresh the page. Refresh.
Where do you refresh? Oh, at the top.
Where do you refresh? F5. Refresh button.
It's very hot here.
ABCWhovians.com.
Yeah, it doesn't want to be.
That's a rather dim picture. Couldn't they have adjusted it?
Yeah. Yeah, they could have just banged out in Photoshop. You can just about make out. You can't see your hair, Reese. It's just like a...
Yeah, very dark.
Yeah.
I can't do anything.
But
did you
mention to them you were just wearing your normal clothes?
No. Because I'm not.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. It's pretty cool that you got there, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
I did get a picture of you.
That guy behind you is really taking it. I know that's...
It's a cutout.
Yeah, I just realised that.
It's very good.
Is that Rory?
Yes.
Looks like he's looking at you. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Right. It's very unusual that we've got just over 1 hour and 10 minutes into the show, and we've sort of covered everything. But we sort of covered everything, unless you think of anything else that I haven't already covered. Shall I click through my own open page on my Macintosh thing?
You can do.
It's a 20 megabyte Apple podcast again.
Because Merlin,
we're on to episode 10 of Merlin at the moment, and I'm glad to say that. That Guinevere's being a bit evil was only short-lived.
Do you want to know what happened at the end of the series?
No, be quiet.
Because I don't know either.
That's it then. Thank you, everybody. Next week we'll hopefully be recording on the Sunday, unless I've forgotten something, and we'll be recording on the Monday, but I'm pretty sure it'll be Sunday. And what am I saying?
Yeah, what are you saying?
Unless we record in 3 days' time to make sure we get another episode in before the end of the world.
Do you really want to?
But until then, thank you for listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
So what are we talking about next week?
Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah.
Which episode?
Oh, Turn Left.
Just Turn Left.
And the week after that, of course, we'll be talking about the Snowmen.
Yay!
That'd be exciting mentor. Might even be to get Alicia to contribute to that one. You never know.
Yeah. And Isabella.
Yeah, maybe so. If she's not vomiting.
She won't be.
Yes, you made me forget what I was going to say. Yeah.
End of the
world.
End of the world. No, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, no. They're going to be some very embarrassed people wandering around after it doesn't.
Yeah, this is what I'm looking forward to. This is what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the new. If we do actually get through to the 22nd, be quiet. If we do actually get through to the 22nd of December, I'm looking forward to the news stories of what people did because they thought it was going to be the end of the world and how silly they now look and stuff like that.
Well, I'm going to run out on the street and saying, "He did it! The doctor saved us!"
Yeah,
so you'll be in the sanitarium the week after that, no doubt.
No.
Anyway, right, I was just about to say goodbye, wasn't I? Yes. Bye!
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 No James Arthur this week, listeners. No James Arthur.
What was
good, wasn't it? Last week, there was an Easter egg at the end of last week's episode.
Yummy.
It was James Arthur. Yeah. Singing Sexy and a Note, or his version of Sexy and a Note. It's very, very good. Yes, he's very, very good.
And I noticed that with all the build-up for the spoiler, you cut the spoiler out.
Yeah, I couldn't leave it in, I'm sorry. It was too spoilery, sorry. But I think I put enough in to make people just look for it themselves.
Excuse me.
Well, yeah, someone did post that they looked for it and found it.
Yeah, well, that's down to them, isn't it?
Yes.
I didn't make them do that. I just made people aware of the what?
143.
Yes,
143.
Yes. Anyway, as I was trying to say, go on. Bye.
Are you trying to get rid of us?
Yes. Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
What'd you say?
I don't know.
Talking to James, saying something about the TV.
All right.
Joss, what did you say? Oh no, James is in the way of the TV, so you can't see it.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, I'll get that with Alicia. Anyway.
Kids.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
See you guys.
Get another cup of coffee before you go to work, Gobi.
Yes.
Huh?
Never mind.
A mug of coffee.
Yeah.
I get the coffee at work.
Oh, okay. But you can put your feet up a little bit before you go.
Yeah, I've actually got a few minutes time here to maybe take a short nap.
Yeah.
Cool. don't oversleep.
Right. Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. You guys.
Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended. I did it!